for choosing this podcast. This is Coming Out Stories with me, Emma Goldswell. It's brought to you by What Goes On Media, and we bring you inspiring LGBTQ plus stories every fortnight. This episode, you're going to hear from Rob. He's a travel expert, and you may have seen him on TV in the UK, on Rip Off Britain or Morning Live. He identifies as gay and says he's been that way for a long time.
I think I always actually knew, which I know sounds a little bit ridiculous, but ever since I can remember, I always found men sort of attractive, even pre-puberty. I think it is actually possible, to be honest. And my friends were always girls growing up. That was always how it was. I was identified more with sort of like female characters. And I always knew I was different in that way. I also used to sort of dress up as a girl from a very, very young age. Yeah, always.
Where did you source your clothing from?
Well, my best friend since I was three, and we are still friends now. My best friend is actually trans, but we've grown up with each other because our mothers were best friends. And we used to swap clothes. So Katie was my best friend growing up, and I would put on Katie's clothes and Katie would put on my clothes. As soon as we finished school, we'd do it. I'd be called Sally and Katie would be called Christopher. And our mums would take us to sort of Tesco's and B&Q, and, you know, they'd call me Sally and they'd call Katie Christopher, and they'd go along with the whole thing all the time. So yeah,
and they were totally accepting of it then. Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean I talked to my mum now and I was like, you know, because my mum will get onto it, but always said she didn't know. And I was like, well, how could you not know? Like, I dressed up as a girl like throughout the majority of my childhood, and she just said that she thought I was theatrical. So that was it. When I used to go to play school as well, my mum would drop me off and she said, you know, the first thing I would do would be to run to the dressing up box. And I remember they had like a peach satin, I mean, really gross looking back on it, but peach satin like bridesmaid's dress. And I put it on as soon as I got to play school. I'd keep it on the whole time. And I also used to have like, there was a pink tricycle that I used to go around outside on the little playground on.
Sounds like an idyllic childhood, Rob.
It was great. I had the time of life, living the best life. It was wonderful.
And I'm really guessing that none of the other kids, certainly at that age at nursery, didn't bat an eyelid, did they? They're probably just like, oh, here comes Rob in his pink satin bridesmaid's dress on his pink trike.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a great childhood in that way. And I think I was so innocent in what I was doing. I don't even think I really had a realisation of sort of like the world around me might actually know that I was, you know, actually a boy. I mean, on that note, I remember going to a supermarket with my parents and Katie, who was dressed up as Christopher, and I was dressed up as Sally. And Katie actually said to the person at the checkout, he's a boy, and pointed right at me. And I actually had like a boater hat on, a straw boater with a Laura Ashley sort of like patterned scarf hanging off it that was blowing in the breeze. And I remember feeling absolutely mortified at the time, because I really genuinely thought that probably the person at the checkout thought I was actually a girl. So yeah, I had a very sort of playful childhood, very, very playful with my gender, to be honest.
And so they outed you at the checkout, outrageous.
Outed at the checkout at Tesco's, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's interesting, isn't it, that your friend ended up being trans? Because it must be difficult for parents, because I guess if it was more recent times, parents might be picking up signs and thinking, oh, is my child gay? But actually, oh, does my child identify as a different gender? But I'm guessing this was a while ago and probably your parents weren't thinking about trans or...
Yeah, so I'm actually coming up to my 40s now, and this was quite a long time ago, and actually my friend only really came out as trans about 8 years ago. Wow. So there was a long part of their life when they didn't really know what they were themselves, to be honest. It takes a long time to sort of realize sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, it took me a while to realize that I really was gay, and that realization, even though I said to you that I did always feel different, the realization of gayness really came when I hit puberty. So
And at that stage, were other people picking up on your difference or your gayness? Were other people at school commenting on it? Or
yeah, I mean, I went through school getting not primary school, I must say, but I think everyone in primary school, I went to quite a small primary school. And I think really looking back on it, everyone was like, OK, that's just Rob. That's just what he's like. But it wasn't until I went to the big bad world of secondary school that things really changed. Mm. And then the bullying started and I was different and I really tried to change myself. And I remember looking back on that and I was almost a little bit devastated that I had to sort of like get rid of my Barbies, stop wearing dresses and stop sort of like exploring that side of myself. And I got to secondary school, I tried to change the way I spoke. So I used to talk in this like really horrible, deep voice, which must have sounded absolutely ridiculous. I tried to change the way I walked. So I would walk like I thought a sort of alpha male should walk. None of it worked at all. But I really, really tried so ardently hard to change every aspect of myself.
And that's really damaging for your well-being, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I was quite a strong character, but looking back on it, I really do feel quite sorry for myself because I also know that there's probably other kids out there that are doing the same and really don't feel like they can be themselves and don't feel like they're in safe environments where they can express themselves to be what they really are. And even now, still, I still actually have problems with the way I speak. I really don't like listening to what my voice sounds like. And sometimes, you know, I will pick up the phone and someone will call me Miss or Mrs. And I don't think I sound like a female when I talk, no. But people do sort of, I don't know why, but I get called like ma'am quite a lot on the phone, especially if I go to America because I travel quite a lot. And American hotels, they always call me ma'am over the phone. I don't know why. But it really, really makes me cringe and wince inside. And I hate it. And then I start talking right with a deep voice like that. Mm. And it's just really like, and it takes me back to that moment. It's amazing how I'm nearly 40 and it still really impacts me now.
Absolutely. Well, it's your formative years, isn't it? It's your teenage years where you're forming your personality and deciding who you want to be for the rest of your life. And you're being told by other people at school that what you want to be and who you are is wrong. I mean, did it ever get physical or was it more words that the people were using?
It was mostly words, but there were physical fights as well. And luckily, you know, I could actually hold myself in a fight, to be quite honest. Ironically, even though I used to prance around in a dress, I really could hold myself in a fight against the hard nuts in the school. So I think that was quite surprising sometimes. But yeah, there was a lot of, you know, horrible, hateful, cruel words. I remember probably for about 2 years, actually, every single morning when I walked into school, I knew two boys would hang out of a top window and as I walked past them, spit at me and then call me perf or fag or, you know, it was horrible, horrible names. And that was every single day for 2 years. And it was terrifying. And it was also destroying inside.
And did you ever try and report it to a teacher or tell your mum?
No, not at all. Mm. I felt so ashamed of it. I didn't want to tell anyone about it. Mm. So sometimes I used to talk to my friends about it. But again, by those points, I wasn't actually out at that time. So it was almost impossible to say, these people are calling me these, you know, horrendously homophobic words, because I didn't want at the time, because I was hiding myself so much, I didn't want people to start thinking, oh, hang on, they might be saying that because he is actually gay. So it was a really, really like isolating time for me, to be honest. And a lot of secondary school was filled with complete and utter angst, to be honest, because I wasn't exploring who I really was and I was completely suppressing it.
And where are they now, I wonder?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, I try to think about them as little as possible, to be honest. But
you do hear about people who's like school bullies manage to contact them and apologise because they realise the detrimental effect that their words must have had.
Well, absolutely. And that is beautiful. And I think, you know, as children, we all can look back on our childhood and think, oh, do you know what? I wish I hadn't done that. Or I wish I hadn't been like that to that person. So, you know, there's always time to sort of make things right, isn't there? And we learn from our mistakes, don't we?
We do. So how did you go from that very insecure teenager in a very difficult place to being the out and proud gay man you are today?
Well, I think when I was growing up, the internet definitely helped. I remember my dad first got the internet and then I started exploring online. And I started looking things up, and it just opened up a whole world to me. And I knew I was gay. I always knew I was gay, but it just made me feel like things might be all right if I started opening up to people. And by this point, I was like 15 years old, and I was really, really attracted to men, and I wanted to have relationships as well. I'd tried to have girlfriends. It just didn't work. I couldn't do it. It just wasn't in me, and it became this thing that I couldn't ignore in the end. So I did a lot of research as much as I could. I mean, the information back then was limited. The internet was very basic. But then also at the age of 15, I actually came out to the first person, and that first person was Katie.
Yay!
That's now Harry, but yeah, it was Katie at the time. And we went to a house party, had some drinks. And I remember we were sat in the driveway of this person's house that was having the party. And I told Katie and I said, well, I actually came out as bisexual, because I thought that coming out as bisexual was somehow a lot more acceptable, because at that time I saw it as sort of like being half gay, which is kind of ironic, because it's not, first of all, it's not the way it is. And I think, it was ironic that I thought it would be more acceptable, because I think at the moment, especially, there's lots of education that can be done around bisexuality and people's understanding of bisexuality. But back then,
absolutely.
Yeah, back then, I thought that it would make it more easier to understand. And I remember from that moment, and obviously Katie was, hugging me and fine and
good old Katie.
It was wonderful, and there was tears and everything. But I remember we walked across, we thought it was hilarious as well, to be honest. And we walked across this driveway, and I walked across in the most outrageously sort of over the top camp manner of what I thought sort of like a gay man would walk like. And Katie was walking along like, probably like the most butch walk that she could possibly put on herself. And I think at that moment, and I always remember that moment, we were laughing our heads off at the time. And to some people, it might seem a little bit obnoxious, because it's, reinforcing like really negative stereotypes. But to us as kids at that time, it was sort of a display of how we were different to everybody else at that party.
Yeah, and it must have been very freeing for you, because as you said, you've been bullied and told that you couldn't be who you wanted to be. So if you want to walk in a camp and flamboyant manner, then, that obviously felt really fun for you to do.
Absolutely. It was like one extreme to the other all of a sudden. And it was a very freeing, wonderful, liberating experience. But then, after that, it really started a ball rolling, and it was something that I couldn't keep inside anymore. And it was like this sort of like beast had been unleashed inside me that I really couldn't tame any longer. So it did start a ball rolling, and I did start talking to more friends. And like I said, all my friends were girls at school. I didn't hang around with the boys. They didn't want to hang around with me, and I didn't want to hang around with them. But, and I told quite a lot of girlfriends, and it really did change my life. And I think that year as well, Queer as Folk was aired on TV.
That's got a lot to answer for, isn't it?
It's got a lot to answer for.
Everybody moved to Manchester after watching that.
I did. It was my place of choice to go to university. It was the only reason why I wanted to go to Manchester, because I thought, I'll go up the pink lights of Canal Street. But I think from the age of 15, my life really did change, and I started to really explore who I was. And it was just the most wonderful, beautiful feeling in the world. And I remember I got to my school prom, and I was so over school, and I was so glad that I didn't have to be there anymore. And prom in itself was difficult, because I couldn't really get a date, because everyone was, girls and boys together. And all my girlfriends sort of like, they had their own dates, and no one sort of wanted to go with me. And, Katie at the time didn't go to prom either, because just felt really awkward about it. And I didn't have anyone to go with. But I still went. And I remember coming out to a friend at prom, who actually then went and told her boyfriend. So I was completely outed throughout the whole of my summer after school, which was a bit of a shame, because I hadn't actually told, I'd only told sort of a select few friends of mine.
And did those girlfriends that you had told, did they sort of protect you from the bullies? Were they aware about the bullying that was going on?
I don't, to be honest, looking back on it, I don't think they were really aware of the bullying that was going on. And the fact that I had told them and they were so accepting. And I think there was like this sort of like, you know, confused intrigue around it, because I don't think anyone really understood it, but everyone accepted it. And I think they quite liked the fact that, you know, like one of their friends was a bit different, and they always knew I was a bit different anyway. So in some ways it wasn't too much of a surprise, but I think, you know, the basics of it, they didn't really understand. But yeah, I mean, I was in a very protective atmosphere, and we always looked after each other anyway, to be fair. So it can't be underestimated, the power of actually, if you are harboring something inside, when you do get it out and when you do actually share it, it changes everything, doesn't it? And it makes life so much more enjoyable and freeing.
It really does. I mean, the people that I've spoken to that have lived for any amount of time in the closet, really, it's incredibly damaging.
Absolutely.
It's hard work, isn't it?
It's really hard work. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, just having to hide anything about yourself and your true identity is something that should never really happen to anybody. It's such a shame that it does. And it still happens. Like, it still happens a lot.
It does. So when did you do the big build-up to telling parents then?
So my parents, well, as I said, I was outed during the summer between leaving school and going to college. And and that summer was horrendous for me. I was riddled with anxiety. I lost so much weight. My parents thought I was ill. To be fair, I think it was bringing up memories of how school started for me. So I thought I was going back into an environment of hostility and bullying and sort of like non-acceptance of who I was. And also I lived in a fairly small town outside of Southampton, and I was terrified that if everybody at college knew, everyone's parents were then going to know, and my parents will find out as well. So I was sort of forced to actually come out to my parents, because I'd always been close to my parents, and I'd always tried to drop hints with my parents about my sexuality. I remember when Queer as Folk came out, and I remember my brother was saying how disgusting it was, and I think he was just going along with all the people at school what they were saying. My brother is not a homophobe. I mean, he might have been back then. There's only 19 months between us. We were very similar in age, we were at school at the same time. And I think he was just sort of repeating what he was hearing at school without actually meaning it. You know, I tried to drop these hints, I tried to have conversations, and they were sort of always almost batted away a little bit, to be honest, funny enough, for my parents, which I was surprised about looking back on it. But I decided to show them one night the film Beautiful Thing.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Jonathan Harvey, yeah.
Jonathan Harvey, yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I studied the play actually when I was in college after I'd shown it to them. And I really thought that it was, I mean, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful film. It's a wonderful acting. And it's just so heartwarming. And I just, and to me at the time, that nothing really had resonated with me that was sort of like out there in the media or out there in the public eye as much as that film. And I identified, I found a lot of myself in that film. So I thought, but by showing them, I truly thought that by the end of it, I would be out proud and it's sort of accepted, and we'd just be like skipping down the yellow brick road together as a family and celebrating everything together. But I showed them the film, and I remember as it started, my brother was there in the sitting room as well. And he went, turned around and went, "Oh, is this a gay film?" And I was being like, okay, this ain't going well here. And the film finished and my parents were like, "Oh yes, that's a very nice film, wasn't it? Right, let's all go to bed." And I really felt at that moment that my parents would just be like, okay, we get what you're trying to tell us. There's your message. Thank you very much. Let's move on from this. Everything's absolutely fine. But it wasn't like that at all. I think it's quite good for people to remember that sometimes when you are trying to give a message to someone about something that's very important to you, they might not always take it in the way that you want them to. And I remember I went to bed that night and I just felt so riddled with anxiety, and it just didn't go the way I wanted to. I was so disappointed. And I said to my mum, I said, "Could you remind me to tell you something tomorrow, because there's something that I really want to tell you?" And she said, "Yeah, absolutely, no problem." And we went to bed, and actually, funnily enough, I mean, like, bad timing, the next day was actually Mother's Day. I know. But
Fair enough.
It's terrible, isn't it? I mean, like, talk about choosing dramatic times to do it. But at that moment, in time, I didn't care about the fact it was Mother's Day. I hadn't even thought about that. And I know that sounds really, really selfish, but it needed to come out drastically, and it didn't matter about what day it was, what time of the year, what hour it was, anything. It had to come out. And the next day went on and on and on, and it felt like a really, really long day, and no one spoke to me, and no one said anything, and no one asked me anything. And then I just had this massive breakdown towards the end of the day. And my mum was like, my gosh, like, seriously, what is wrong with you? What's happened? Tell me, talk to me. And I couldn't even speak through the sheer sobbing. And I was so, so upset. And my mum actually said to me, are you trying to tell me that you're gay? Because I was saying, I can't tell you, I can't tell you, I can't say it, I can't say it.
She and finally got the hint, yeah.
Yeah, and she said it, and I said, yes. And she said, okay, don't worry, it's all right. When really, I probably was expecting her to say, yeah, don't worry, we actually know, we've always known, which a lot of parents say, but she didn't. And like I said, my mother always says she didn't know, but it was the most freeing moment of my entire life to actually get that out.
Sometimes straight people live in such a straight world that they can't compute it, and they don't read the signs, do they? And they don't grasp it. Yeah,
I think that is exactly what happened in my story, because my mum and dad, I don't think they'd even really met a gay person, or they hadn't. Well, they must have done, but they didn't know it.
They didn't realise.
They didn't have any gay friends? Like I said, we lived in quite a small town. There were no gay sort of like out people in that town, and it just didn't really ever come into their realm, to be quite honest.
And how did your dad take it?
Absolutely fine. I mean, my dad's always been quite horizontal anyway. I think, you know, any dad that lets his son prance around in a sort of like peach satin bridesmaid's dress when they're a little boy is pretty chilled out, to be honest. So he was always fine. And my dad's reaction was, my dad walked in his room and he was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? And my mum said, Robert's just told me he's gay. And my dad went, oh, okay, great. Does anyone want a cup of tea? That was it. That's really the only conversation I've ever really had to have with my dad, because he wasn't at all fazed by it. And neither was my brother, funnily enough. I've probably given maybe a little bit of a bad impression of my brother, but he was always absolutely fine about it and always very much stuck up for me.
Did you have a separate conversation with him then?
No, I didn't. I never even had to. It's really funny. The ones that I probably thought were going to be the most hostile towards it were actually the complete opposite, to be honest. It was a really lovely thing. And, you know, all of my parents and my brother are amazing allies of sort of like LGBTQ people, which is wonderful. But yeah, my dad and my brother, I've never had to have proper conversations with about it.
And did you tell extended family then? Was that something you were wanting to do?
We did. We told my nanny, who was my mum's mum, and she's always been quite a flamboyant character anyway. And the first thing she said was, oh, well, I've always heard gay men are very nice to women who are over the age of 60. So that was her.
This is a universal rule, is it? Well, I've not heard that one before, but
apparently
yeah.
so. But my nan and granddad, my mum made the decision that we would never tell them. They're no longer with us anymore. And I always look back on that with real disappointment, to be honest, because I think, first of all, they would have been fine about it. But my mum always said that they were too old to understand. And I actually don't agree with that. And at the time, I mean, I was 16 by this point. And I just sort of accepted it and went along with it. And at that time, I would have gone along with anything because I just felt so relieved that it was out. But looking back on it, was the wrong thing to do. And my mum admits that as well, because it inhibited my relationship with my grandparents.
Yeah. And it's a funny argument, isn't it? It's like they didn't have gay people in the old days. Well, you know, gay people have been around since the dawn of time. So, you know, plenty of people have just cracked on and got on with it. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think age is a barrier.
Not at all. And I also think as well, a lot of the time, older generations are far more accepting of sort of like difference. I think sometimes as well, the older generation quite like to challenge themselves in some way.
And you'd hope, wouldn't you, that the older you get, the wiser you get, and the more tolerant you get, and the more you just become a bit worldly wise, don't you? And, you know, I think, well, I like to think that I've got wiser as I've got older.
I get wiser every day, I think, to be honest. And yeah, and I think that's a really important point you've made, actually, Emma. Yeah, as you get older, you do get wiser, and that's the same for everybody.
So what was it like then, you know, growing up and going out into the big wide world and launching your career? I mean, you chose a profession that I'm going to say is quite gay friendly, would I be right in saying?
I chose a profession that's very gay friendly. So I actually went up to I went to Manchester to go to university, and I'd always wanted to travel. And I think after I finished college, I was so sick of education. I was desperate to travel. I wanted to take a year out. My parents said, don't take a year out because you'll never come back. You'll never go to university. And I was the first person in my family to go to university. So this was a big thing. And I went up to the bright pink lights of Manchester, which is, you know, my first choice of places to go, because I just wanted to live the life of queer as folk. And I had the most wonderful time in Manchester, but I was also always desperate to travel. And I was so desperate to travel that I actually dropped out of university, because by this point in my life, I'd never even stepped on a plane. I'd never been to a foreign country, and I really wanted to explore the world. So I decided to try and forge a job into the travel industry, which actually, as you said, is an extremely sort of gay friendly, accepting and diverse place to work. I mean, it's a diverse job. You get to see the world, you get to go to wonderful countries and do things that I did, things that I'd never even dreamed I'd ever do. But yeah, I do work in a very accepting environment.
I wonder why that is. I'm just thinking out loud now. Is it because gay people have a sort of wanderlust, don't they? And they like escaping and they like getting away and running away, sort of. I don't know.
Yes, I actually think running away is quite a lot of it. But yes, that wanderlust. When you work in the airline industry, you know, I've worked in lots of different areas of the airline industry, but predominantly as cabin crew, which is where sort of my heart lies. Cabin crew can be quite a frivolous lifestyle in some ways as well. There's a jollity about it as a job. There's a huge party element to it as a job as well. And it's extremely sociable. And I think as well, you know, over the years, gay people have always been sort of conditioned to think, well, I'm never going to settle down and have a family. So I might as well have this sort of like vocational job where it is actually my lifestyle, and sort of differs from that, you know, like that regularity of a 9-to-5. Does that sort of make sense what I'm saying? And it's a great job to do. It's wonderful. It gives you great opportunities, but it is also a very accepting place to work. And I think for all its faults, the airline industry and travel, the travel industry in general, is a really inclusive place to be.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet many straight flight attendants who were mobile?
Loads. Yeah, there's loads of them. It's also one of those jobs where it's a real perception that actually everyone's gay. It's a bit like, this old stereotype views of hairdressers. Oh, well, they're all gay, aren't they? Yeah. All their stewards are gay. But it's actually not true at all. So.
No. And they probably do very well for the women, don't they?
They really do. Yes, absolutely.
So would you say you're out and proud in all areas of your life now then?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I haven't felt there's anything to hide for a very, very long time. Although I must say, I do travel to a lot of countries where I do have to sort of like be more self-aware, to be quite honest.
Well, let's just talk about this briefly before we finish, though, because, you know, I would say that there are places that LGBT people do go on holiday where it isn't necessarily safe to go, is it? So where would you advise people to avoid, or advise people to... I don't know. Would you advise people to tone it down or change the behaviour visiting certain countries?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't advise people to tone it down anywhere. I do think we have to be culturally aware with some countries. And I think that just comes from a level of respect of other cultures. You know, I would love the world to be more open and tolerant of the LGBTQ community. But unfortunately, that is just not the case in a lot of countries. So if you are traveling to somewhere like Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or something like that, which...
Well, and a lot of people will be going to Qatar for the World Cup, won't they?
This is it. And, you know, Qatar has absolutely horrendous... Well, they don't have the greatest human rights records, do they? But, you know, they absolutely are not... at all as a country welcoming of LGBTQ people. However, one thing I will say about that is I've been to so many countries where even the, you know, being gay is punishable by death sentence. But a lot of the time when you get to these countries and you actually speak to people at grassroots levels, your perception is completely challenged. And it really is nice to actually really treat people as individuals that are not necessarily completely indoctrinated by the politics of their own country. You know, I remember going to Uganda and I went to a nightclub in Kampala, and I was speaking to a group of people, and we were all getting on really well. And I think one girl had bit of an eye for me. I could have probably, you know, like walked away from that situation and been like, well, actually, Uganda has, you know, terrible views on homosexuality. I really should just not say anything and take myself out of this situation. But I actually said to her, like, I'm really sorry, but I'm more into boys. And so they were all like, oh, no worries, that's absolutely fine, no problem. She actually said, do you want to meet my brother? And I was like, I'm really surprised by this, because, you know, my mother's been terrified about the fact that I'm coming to Uganda as a gay man. Yeah. And they're like, no, don't always think that just because the politics of a country is necessarily representative of every individual of that country.
No.
Now, am I saying that there's no problems in somewhere like Uganda? Absolutely not. There really, really is. And that's why, you know, thousands of gay people try to flee countries like that every single year and seek asylum in other countries because of their own personal safety. But we do have to sort of challenge our stereotypes and perceptions of individuals in other countries sometimes. You can't have this blanket view of...
That's it. It doesn't matter what the law is, does it? There are LGBT people in every country on the planet. Absolutely. And that's never going to change. You know?
And there are always going to be allies in those countries as well, where the laws are horrific.
Right, before we end, I always like to ask people for advice. If you could impart some of your worldly wisdom that you've gathered from globe-trotting over the years as a travel expert. Advice for other people who haven't come out yet.
Okay, advice for the people who haven't come out. Listen to yourself. Don't try to suppress it. Be kind to yourself and always try to find someone that you can talk to, whether that is somebody in person, whether that is somebody sort of on the phone, whether that's somebody from a charity or in an online or something online. Just make sure that you find support for yourself, because no one is alone in this life and everything will be okay eventually. There will always be someone around to love you for exactly who you are.
Thank you so much, Rob. And then finally, I'm just going to add an extra on the end. What top tip for your favourite place to go on holiday as a gay person?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this is hard because I love everywhere in the world. Let me think. Actually, as a gay person, I love New York. I think New York anyway is one of the most diverse cities in the world. And it's one of those places where I feel so unbelievably safe. I feel safer in New York than I do anywhere else in the world. And I think New York is one of those places that really accepts individuality and lets people be who they want to be. And no one blinks an eyelid.
I am not going to disagree with you on that one. And Sam, who I do the podcast with, will love that answer as well, she's a big New York fan. And I forgot to ask you about your stay. Have you got a boyfriend?
I have, yeah. I've got a partner. Yeah, 8 years, been together. Yeah, not married, unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
It's very difficult when you're... it's a mixed-race relationship, isn't it? And his culture is very different to sort of like what I've grown up with, so...
Well, maybe one day. Never say never.
Maybe one day. I just want to come in on a white horse wearing a sari for our wedding. That's the only reason why I want to get married, so... Our love is there. Everyone knows we love each other, so that's fine.
Thank you so much, Rob, for chatting to me. So great to hear about your fun childhood swapping clothes with your best friend. Just made me think it's such a shame that most adults seem to lose that innocence and that playfulness with gender that young children just take to so easily. Oh, and by the way, if you've never seen Beautiful Thing, the play by Jonathan Harvey that was made into a film, rectify that immediately. You can have that as your homework. Oh, and don't forget, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, can you please rate us and review us? We would love some new reviews, so please do that if you can. Oh, and you can also chat to us on all the socials. That's at Come Out Stories if you're on Twitter, or Coming Out Stories Pod on Instagram. Next time round, you're going to hear from Jackson, who came out fairly recently as a trans man. He gathered the whole family together for a meeting, and his dad tried to guess what he wanted to tell them.
He just, like, massively ended up putting his foot in it, and, you know...
What did he say? Can you remember?
It was like, oh, are you getting a puppy, or are you pregnant, or are you this, or that? And then he was like, you're not doing a sex change, are you? And it was just in jest, it was a joke, and I just looked at him, and I was like... Yeah.